April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Radio presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Elliott Shore Parks, James Seltzer, coming your way till 3 o'clock. Elliott, the last couple weeks there hasn't been, you know, news, so to speak, to talk about. You know, we had the whole Carson thing and all that, and then we've, you know, found some things to talk about. We actually have some Eagles things happening this week, it seems like.
Howie Roseman getting to work.
Howie season
has begun. This is when Howie works his magic, right?
Oh, God.
Start digging himself out of that hole, that $43 million hole that we spent all season talking about. So, the Jason Kelce thing, the Darius Slay thing, it's interesting to see how they're going about this, what their initial moves are. Lane, Brandon Graham will come. We'll get the details on those. But certainly starting to enter the next phase of the offseason.
Yeah, and look, I think for a lot of people, you know, it was a question of, are they going to completely tear down? Are they going to retool on the fly? All that type of stuff. What are these? Let's start with the moves. Are there any of these moves? I think Brandon Graham restructure was something we had talked about as a possibility prior. A Lane Johnson restructure, not that much of a shock. We weren't sure whether Kelce would come back. What do you think about these moves? Do any of these really surprise you?
They're not surprising, but they are interesting to me. Like when I look at them each individually, and again, we don't know the Lane and the Brandon Graham details yet. So we can't like fully analyze how that's going to impact the cap, how much more committed they are to these guys. But Graham and Lane were two players that we thought they were going to restructure to some degree. The Darius Slay and Jason Kelce one to me made me kind of think our read on this team is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think the last month, certainly me and you have debated it, it's been, well, they're just definitely going to not be good in 2021. They're not going to try to win. This is a rebuilding year. To me, these two moves are a little more, they think they can win the division type of thing. And I'm not trying to overstate it, but Kelce coming back is interesting. Kelce wouldn't come back if this team was trying to go 4-12.
I think I agree with you.
And he even said in his statement to the team's website, he didn't want to leave on the note he did last year, which presumably means he does not expect 2021 to be like that. Not only did he come back, they gave him, you know, a bit of a raise, right? He gets a higher base salary this year than he was going to. So they wanted him back. Like, they felt they needed Jason Kelce back. And look, any team would take Jason Kelce back. He's one of the best centers in the league, great locker room guy, a leader, all those things. So you bring Jason Kelce back. That being said, when you bring a, you know, 33-ish year old, if not a little older maybe, you bring a center like that back, that's a win now move, right? So the Jason Kelce move to me raised my eyebrows a little. And then the Darius Slay one too, because Darius Slay, I didn't think there was a super realistic chance they were going to trade him, but he is the type of player you trade if you're tanking. Like if Sam Hinkie was running the Eagles, Darius Slay would be traded. Still has value, good player, a little on the older side, makes a lot of money. If you're tanking 2021, you trade Darius Slay. Not only did they not trade him, they like doubled down on him. He's now going to be here in 2022. So the moves to me do not speak of a team that expects to go 4-12 next year.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. And look, individually, certainly Brandon Graham, Jason Kelce, I'm not going to complain about having those guys back. You know how I feel about those guys. And I do think, look, I think as much as I've been someone who said I think they need to rebuild, I think they need to tear it down, for lack of a better phrase, and really try and get high draft picks, rebuild through the draft, get young, develop. Like, I'm okay seeing Brandon Graham finish his career as an Eagle. Yeah. I'm okay seeing Jason Kelce finish his career as an Eagle. You need some veterans. You're not going to have a team without any veterans on the team, so I'm all right
with
that.
And they're two great veterans to have.
And they're two great veterans to have, but the sum of these moves, and the Slay one, I think, is the key signifier. When you look at the Darius Slay move, it's like, huh.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Huh,
yeah.
That's weird. And I'm nervous, Elliot. I'm nervous because I don't – look, I'm not going to say I don't want this team to compete in any year. You always want your team to compete. You want to watch good football, that type of stuff. I just don't think that trying to win a bad division and go 9-8 or 8-9 – Weird to say that.
17 games next year.
Yeah. So, you know, going that and then winning a weak division, all that, like, what does that do for me? Like, I know, all right, I guess best case scenario, you could say Nick Sirianni's really good. Jalen Hurts is really good. These are the guys you build with. I just, with so many holes on the roster, so much lack of young talent that you can build with towards being a true championship-type team, I just feel like it's the wrong move to try and serve both masters right now.
I'm torn, and I'll be interested to see where the callers fall on this one. But on one hand, I'm Mr. Tear It Down. Like, this was my initial plan 2 weeks ago. Like, I was saying, trade Darius Slay, trade Fletcher Cox, trade Brandon Graham. Like, trade these guys. I'm with you. Like, it would be awesome to see Brandon Graham retire as an Eagle. Jason Kelce, for sure. Like, it still stings that Brian Dawkins was a Bronco. You know, like, there are certain things that I think should happen. That being said, when you're talking about the way you build a team, like, I was down with trading these guys. So I do get the value of tearing it down. I see the blueprint. I see why it makes sense. On the flip side, I also know that Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts having a good year next year is important. Like, it matters that Nick Sirianni doesn't go 4-12 for two reasons. One, it just matters for his own. Yes.
It's going to be so weird.
So I guess no team can go 500 now. That just processed in my head.
Well, unless they tie.
True. So I guess they could go 8-8-1.
8-8-1.
So now we know what the Eagles' record's going to be next year. 8-8-1. But so as much as I'm Mr. Tear It Down, on the flip side, it's advantageous to have Nick Sirianni have a good rookie year. Like, Doug went 7-9 his rookie year. He ended on a high note. If you remember, like, the team was playing hard for him after a bit of a midseason swoon type of thing. And for Jalen Hurts, I think it's important for him to have a good year. Like, you don't want Jalen Hurts to start his career 1-4 or 1-3 as a rookie and then 4-12 next year or whatever, 4-13. I'm still going to say 4-12.
Yeah,
we can correct
Look,
that.
Look, it's not
official
yet. We could say it's still 16 and you know, until it's officially said.
And also, it's more relatable. Like, people understand what I'm talking about when I say a 4-12, an 8-8, a 6-10. Like, those are feelings that you feel when you hear those records. So I do think that trying to win games is not bad. You just have to try to win them with the right guys. Like, I don't want Marcus Mariota or Josh McCown winning three games next year. If you're telling me the Eagles are going to try to win, then do it with Nick Sirianni, do it with Jalen Hurts, do it with young players. The offensive line, I'm okay with going with veterans because it's really important you have good guys there. And you can play Jordan Mailata. Say Amalu is young. You know, realistically,
Andre
guys
Dillard
will get hurt.
Still here. See what happens there.
Yeah, exactly.
But Jack Driscoll, like, if nothing else, if you're looking at the team and saying, all right, where is they're the most potential young talent-wise, as sad as it is, it's probably still the guys in the offensive line.
Well, I'll say this, too. I think Jason Peters, like, don't rule that out.
Stop. Nope. Stop.
I'm not saying what we
no!
want.
No, 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 no. We're not even putting that into the universe.
Here's all I know. Howie loves Jason Peters. Jeff Stoutland loves Jason Peters. The right side of the line is going to be Kelce, Brooks, and Lane, all big Peters guys. Say Amalu.
Oh.
And you know what was interesting this week, Jason Peters?
If they start Jason Peters at left tackle, I'm losing my mind. Well, I'm losing my mind, Elliot.
I think Jason Peters, and so he was interviewed this week. He said a few things that got people upset. I don't know if you're aware of all
no,
the...
No, you didn't hear anything about it. Yeah, never.
But he said something I thought was interesting. He was talking about how much he has to bring to a team. But he said, as someone that can teach young players, as someone that understands.
God.
So I think there's a chance he's on the roster as a backup, but that's a topic for a different show. Regardless, this week was a little more. I think the Eagles think they can compete more than we thought. Those were my read on the moves is this Eagles team plans on trying to compete. This is not a team that's expected to go 4-13, 4-12, whatever, right? And it kind of makes sense because when you look at the Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman past, they've never tanked. Like, that's not who the Eagles are, right? There's a reason the Eagles are almost always in playoff contention. So I think we might need to readjust the way we look at this team. Like, we've looked at it almost with, well, 2021 doesn't matter. Let's just focus on 2022. Maybe we should get in the mindset of where the team is and say, maybe they do have a chance to win this year.
Oh, God. They don't, though. Not on any real level. And I get the idea that if Jalen Hurts, and assuming it is Jalen Hurts, you know, I guess that's...
Or a rookie or whoever, so, yeah. But it's going to be
Jalen
one or the
Hurts
other.
Or the number six pick, whatever you want to say, or they trade up, whatever. The young quarterback and Nick Sirianni combo having success together early and building confidence and growing together and all that. Like, I can't say that I think that's bad. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
But I think that if they're going to do it with a bunch of veterans on the roster and not develop young talent and not draft guys and let them play and not get young players ready for when this team actually truly can compete. Because, again, this is all about if the Eagles were not in the NFC East, I don't think there are any notions of trying to compete this year.
Yeah, I mean, you never know year to year, but you're correct that their division makes their path to contention more realistic.
Yeah, and winning a bad division does nothing for me. It does, and then I get another bad draft pick next year and I'm playing a first-place schedule again and we're going around and around and around in a circle that we've been through.
Yeah, but
we need young talent. We need young blue chip talent. Like, they haven't drafted a Pro Bowler since Carson freaking Wentz, and now he's gone. Like, they need young, cheap, high level blue chip talent as much as anything else, period.
I agree with that. But I also, I can't lie. Like, there's a part of me that's saying, if this team can, you know, win seven games with Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, think of how excited you are for 2022 at that point.
I want young players. I'm excited about Jamar Chase.
But the tough part is, it's going to be, if we see value, and you're saying you see it too, if we see value in Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts having a good year together, it's easier to do that with Fletcher Cox, with Brandon Graham, with Jason Kelce, with these older established players. Like, it just is. So I'm torn. You know, I normally come in here and, you know, you think one thing, I think another. Like, we're both vehemently on one side. I'm torn on this one because this week really, I wasn't expecting it as much. Like, I wasn't expecting to view the moves the way that I did. So I almost look at this team and say, well, yeah, of course they're trying to compete. They're the Eagles. That's what they do. But I just wasn't thinking that was a path that they would try to go down.
Yeah, I just think it's a flawed path. I don't think this team is good enough to compete in any real sense. I don't think they win the division, even if they try and compete. Even with these guys back, I still think they're the least talented team top to bottom in the division. So,
well, Let me just counter you a little bit.
I mean, they won four games this past year.
Agreed. But the three things that matter the most when talking about a team are the offensive line, the defensive line, and the quarterback, right?
Maybe the head coach.
Well, yes, I'm sorry. I'm talking about the players.
Who I have so little faith in as well. I mean, who
for
knows?
Sure.
That's a whole, like, we can hope, but everything we've seen about this guy so far, every word he said, everything we know about him is he's not ready for this right now.
Oh, I agree. But what I'm saying when you talk about the offensive line, the defensive line, and the quarterback, the Eagles don't stack up terribly compared to other teams in the division. Like, Washington has the best defensive line, hands down. As we've talked about, probably the best unit in the division. Mm-hmm. But if Fletcher Cox is back, if Brandon Graham is back, if Derek Barnett's back, if Josh Sweat's back, if Hargrave is better, like, the Eagles' defensive line is not bad. They have the potential to be good.
I think that's fair. I agree.
If the offensive line, if Kelce, Brooks, and Lane stay healthy, big if Mailata continues to develop, the offensive line's not bad. And if they can just not get the worst quarterback play in the division like they did last year. So, again, I don't want to get into a can the Eagles compete debate because we've debated that.
Right, but right. It's more should they.
But I can see why internally the Eagles could talk themselves into the idea of, you know what, we'll be better than people think. And I also wonder, not to bring up his name, he who must not be named, but do you think there's a little part of him that's like, you know what, we don't want to trade Carson and then go 4-12? Like, a little part of them that's saying, if we're going to trade Carson, he's going to go to the Colts, and everyone thinks he's going to do great and go, you know, 13-3 or whatever. Do you think there's any part of them that's saying, we can't handle the PR of being really bad next year.
Do I think there's a part of them? Yes. Do I think there should be? No.
Yeah.
No, he's gone. Forget about that guy. It's over. Mm-hmm. Like, don't worry anything about him other than does he play 75% of the snaps or 70 when they make the playoffs. That's the only worry the Eagles should have about that guy. He's gone. Move on. So, but I could absolutely see it. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down on this? The moves made this week, do you think it's a signal that this team is actually going to try and compete a little bit more than we thought they might this year? And where do you come down on that? Do you have a problem with that? Because, like, my gut tells me I do. And I think Elliot's gut is he's torn on this. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. Let's start it out where we do every Saturday at this time. Let's go to Abington and talk to our good buddy Tom. Yo, Tom!
Yo, fellas, how we doing today?
What up, man? How you doing?
Good, good. The worst thing that could happen is they try to compete and don't and still wind up 4-4.
Yeah. Well, that would be terrible.
I was about to say 12-13.
Because then you
hurt
the salary cap moving forward, all this stuff, and you're still bad.
But I think you have to make more veteran signings for that to be a terrible thing. Like, if you just bring back Kelsey, Cox, Graham, and those guys, and you go 4-12, 4-13 – you know, then I think you look at Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. But the issue would be, to your point, Tom, if they sign a lot of older veterans, try to win, they're playing, you know, whoever, some 35-year-old receiver each week, and they still lose, like, yes, that would be
very
bad.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
All right, so real quick before I get started, I just want to give a quick shout-out to Sean Young. So for those of you who don't know who Sean is, you actually do know who he is. Anytime you're watching an Eagles game and they pan in on that fan that has, you know, full regalia on, the shoulder pads, the face painted, he's yelling and screaming.
The one with the mohawk?
Yeah. So,
yeah, I know him,
Yeah, he reached out to me yesterday just as a fellow Eagles fan.
Uh-huh.
So he's in the Hall of Fame as a fan, and he took the time out just to reach out to me. So I don't know. I just wanted to say I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, he goes on a lot of the Fans of Philly trips.
He's a great guy.
Yeah,
he's called our show, but not this one. He's called the Midday Show before. Like a really, really nice guy.
Yeah, he just furthers my point from yesterday, James, that we're just one big extended family as Eagles fans.
I'm with you. That's how we fight.
Yeah.
So, like family, exactly.
That is true. Recommendation for you guys real quick. You guys see In and of Itself on Hulu?
No. We have not.
All right. It's a must watch.
Okay.
Must watch.
Is it a TV
I can't
show
even
or
describe
a movie?
What it is, but
is
write it down
TV
and watch
show
it.
Or a movie?
What's that?
TV show or movie?
It's more of a stage performance.
Oh, all right. Cool.
Yeah, it's out there. It's out there. So I'd be interested to see what you guys thought of it. So put together a quick game for you guys. Best worst in the NFC.
Ooh.
East. Okay. But in the moment. So forget about past performance. Forget about futures. This is just in the moment, your gut feeling. All right. Best worst position group.
Best is the Washington defensive line, I would say.
Yes.
Worst.
So I agree
Eagles
with
linebackers
Washington.
Probably.
Oh, position group. I'm thinking of like offense, defense.
I would say Eagles linebackers probably the worst.
Eagles
Washington
linebackers are bad. Yeah, Washington
quarterback
could
to be. I still don't think that's 100% settled, but it could be.
Right.
But right now it's the worst.
In the moment.
Yeah.
All right. Best coach, worst coach.
Ron Rivera.
Yeah, Ron Rivera best.
He's
I mean,
the best.
Like, I hate Joe Judge, but right now Nick Sirianni has to show me something
so
before he's not the worst, I guess.
I would take, if I was starting a team, I would pick Nick Sirianni over Joe Judge. No, realizing
would you
that
take
that
him
has
over
a
McCarthy?
Chance. To, I was big on McCarthy last year, and then he was such a disaster.
I was not.
He's so overrated.
That's what I've been saying forever, Tom. Elliot knows. We used to fight about it, and at a certain point this year, Elliot was like, you were right about McCarthy.
Yeah, he's bad.
Yeah.
So at least with Sirianni, there's some upside.
QB.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I don't expect it, but at least there is upside with
Sirianni. So, all right, best or worst QB? It was just best, worst QB.
I mean,
well, the best is Dak.
The
best is Dak, on the roster.
Yeah, Dak's the best, and the worst is, I mean,
Jones.
Jones, if not Taylor Heineke. I mean, I think Taylor Heineke might be worse than Jones. Who knows? You know?
All right. Best worst owner / management.
Snyder's the worst. So.
Well, the best is very clearly the
Eagles. It's Lurie. It's even though right now I am down on Lurie, I still think he's still the best, but he is trending.
Okay.
Notice though, Tom said management as well. Just throw,
yeah.
So it's a Lurie.
Oh, I thought he just said ownership.
No.
Oh.
So I would put Washington above
because
of the management
potentially on the management.
But they have a new general manager. I know Ron Rivera runs
stuff. So, again, to your point, at least there's upside.
Okay. Well, it's not as bad as Joe Judge.
I'll end it with a question for you guys, and I truly have no idea the answer to this. Who wins the NFC East in 21?
Dallas.
Mm.
So I would agree with Dallas. But I think the Eagles have the second best chance.
I think Washington has the second best chance.
So, James, I loved your impersonation of Charlie Day doing an impersonation of Merrill Reese. That was fantastic.
Look, you checked
out the
podcast.
Have a good day,
Tom. Bye, man. Good hearing
from you. What a pleasure, as always. Yeah, check out the podcast. I will absolutely not do it on WIP.
No.
But if you want to hear my Merrill Reese, my admittedly not great Merrill Reese impression, though it has gotten better feedback than
I
expected.
So, yeah, it has. And it was a little better than I expected.
Oh, you went back and heard it? It was good?
The Merrill impression?
Yeah.
Well, you did it on the pod.
Oh, in the moment,
I was
you're
there.
Saying. And yeah. I thought,
yes, yeah, I heard it. Yeah. It was going into it, I was thinking, when someone tries to do an impression, I always get, like, embarrassed for them before. I'm like, oh, God, this is going to be so painful. It was not that, which so I was
Thank
pleasantly
you.
Surprised.
I'll take it. If you want to hear it, check out our podcast. Anywhere you can get podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, all that stuff, Echo Birdspot on Twitter. Where do you stand on this? Are you, like I am, nervous about the idea that the Eagles are going to try and straddle this line and try and compete this year when they absolutely have to rebuild this roster? Are you torn on it like Elliot is? Call in 215-592-9494. It's Elliot. It's James. It's Go Birds Radio. Don't go anywhere. It's Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Shore, Parks, James Seltzer with you until 3 o'clock. Where do you stand on the Eagles and the moves they've made this week and what it means?
Howie season.
Oh, God. I was expecting restructures. They're not going to get out of the cap situation there without restructuring. They're not going to cut players, especially in situations where it doesn't help and all that type of stuff. I wasn't expecting a flood of them this week like this. The Darius Slay one of the four, really the one to me that was the most unexpected.
It was a little more doubling down than I thought they would do. There were certain guys where you're like, okay, they have to do it. But he's a weird combination. Like, if they would have restructured Devon Hargrave, and it's actually somewhat notable they haven't, and maybe they could do it this week, but doubling down on him would have made sense. To double down on Slay was a little more all-in, quote-unquote, than I expected.
215-592-9494. Where do you come down? Are you concerned about what this team is doing? And are you concerned that maybe they're doing the wrong thing by
Something
trying
tells
to
there's
straddle
a lot of fans
the line
out there
here.
Concerned they are doing the wrong
well,
thing. It feels like the 2020.
Let's get to one that I can pretty much guarantee is going to think that they're doing the wrong thing. Mad Mike, are the Eagles doing the wrong thing?
Of course they are. They don't even know what the right thing to do is ever. Like, this is ridiculous. And the Darius Slay one is absolutely ridiculous. They turned him into a $22 million cap hit.
Yeah.
Next year. They are now robbing Peter to pay Paul again. They are doing the same idiotic moves that everybody thought Howie was a cap wizard when really he's just a moron that keeps pushing the money back and back and back until the credit card bill is due. And it's going to happen again. And the reason that Howie is doing this is because if he didn't and they went all and they rebuilt and they did what they should be doing, they'd be exposed for how little talent is on this team, and everybody would see how bad of a GM he really is. So he's one foot in, one foot out, because all he's trying to do is protect his job because he's done a garbage job of being a GM.
Where I disagree with you on this, and
we always protect Howie.
Yeah, well, I always protect Howie. Yeah, all of a sudden, I'm the Howie guy. But I think you have to look at it realistically, though. Like, your evaluation of it is correct, that, like, the roster does not have a ton of talent. And part of that's the evaluation side. Like, the evaluation side has not been as great. But when you talk about the cap management, I think we have to be realistic about what happened. And the two things that happened were the pandemic lowered the cap by $30
million. $18
million.
No, $30 million. It went from $198 to $180.
Yeah, but it was projected to go higher. So it was projected to go up to...
No, because you... That's
well, that's how... every team in the league thought it was going to be $208 million, okay? I'm just...
Yeah, but that's a false equivalent.
No, it's not, because it's gone up $10 million every year for the past, like, 15 years or something. It goes up every year. So people, when they were building ahead... Everyone in the league projected the cap to be $208 million.
So they forecasted wrong.
Well, because of the pandemic. The pandemic is the reason it's not $208 million. Look, we can blame Howie for a lot of stuff, and I hear you do it every week. I don't think we can blame him for not predicting the pandemic. So clearly, that impacted the cap. And the other second thing that impacted how this cap got bad was Carson. Like, Carson, A, forced his way out, and B, was terrible. In a world where Carson is just average, he's just like the 17th best quarterback in the league, and there's no pandemic, the Eagles are in no salary cap problem because they double down on Carson, which is a different debate, but financially they double down on Carson by lowering his hit, and the cap is $208 million. So if you want to kill Howie for the evaluation of players, we can have that debate. I think you're probably right. But in terms of cap,
but
you're wrong
fair.
In saying that he's mismanaged the cap. That's incorrect.
No, you're wrong. He has mismanaged the cap so much so that he's the second worst cap in the entire league. Now, if the way you say it is like every other team didn't have to deal with it.
But how many teams are in bad salary cap situations right now?
Other than the Saints are the worst, but they still have talent on their team. This is completely Howie Roseman screwing everything up.
Yeah, how many years has Howie been managing the cap?
What's that?
How many years has Howie been managing the cap?
I guess like for four or five years now.
If not more. I think he's been managing it for a lot longer, like 10 to 12 years, right? And this is the first time they've ever been in this situation. So
but
I don't
they've doubled down. They've been doing a really bad job.
When have they ever not had salary cap space to sign guys? When have we ever gone into an offseason saying they can't sign guys?
Yeah, the last 4 years are when I've really started paying attention to what's going on.
Okay, well, each of the last 4 years, they've been able to sign whoever they want.
Yeah, but they've been doing this, push it down the line, and it's ridiculous.
But it works. It's not good like real life financial advice, but in the NFL, it works. Until the pandemic came, it worked.
Yeah, I look, I'm with you. I'm not gonna kill him for the pandemic. You can't like that. I think everyone in the league was planning for it to go up, but. Look, they are in the second worst situation in football. He does hold some blame for this. Like, I know.
Yeah, I think you can blame Howie, also have to be realistic about it.
Look, because your second thing, I agree, the pandemic thing, that is a fair excuse, but it's also an excuse for everyone in the league, right? And not everyone is in this situation. But the second part of that is the Carson Wentz thing. Like, ultimately, like, yeah, if Carson been averaging what he wasn't, he was a disaster and they had to trade him when they gave him this contract. So the Wentz thing, like, I can't give him an absolution for that because he's the one who gave Carson the contract that created the problem.
But the other thing about, you know, they're in the second worst space in the NFL, like part of that is because they spend a lot of money. Like everyone wants their owner to compete. Like everyone wants an owner that's going to spend money to compete, right? Like that's what fans want. The Eagles did that. And because of that, now they have a lot of committed salaries because of what happened with COVID. So I don't think you can kill them for spending money. If we want to talk about the decisions with the money, that's different. But I can't kill them for putting out a lot of money and then having the pandemic drastically impact the cap situation.
Well, Mad Mike did not agree with you. I'm going to take a guess that our next caller is going to agree with you because on my board, it says Elliot is always right. James is always wrong. Johnny in Los Angeles, am I always wrong about everything, really?
That isn't exactly what I said, Mr. James. First, let me say hello.
Hey,
how you doing, Johnny?
I'm doing great. It's nice to talk to you guys. It's been a really long time. I
yeah,
have
thanks
followed
for calling.
Along on the pod, though.
So awesome.
I'm with you.
Thanks, man. We really appreciate that.
First, Mad Mike. Did he enjoy winning the Super Bowl, or was he angry with that?
He was definitely they gave up 33 points type of guy.
Yeah, he was like, Jim Schwartz sucked today, guy. Yeah.
I have a movie for you, Elliot.
All right,
let's
hear
it. The movie Stripes, if you've ever seen it.
Oh, yeah, classic.
Never even heard of it.
Never heard of it. Bill Murray.
Yeah, Bill Murray, John Candy. It's a classic.
So I actually watched the movie with Bill Murray last night we can talk about, but it wasn't Strike.
Yeah. Stripes.
Okay, so
Stripes. Okay. Stripes.
Right. This next comment, this line from that movie, it's for Mad Mike. And that is lighten up Francis. Because you're just way too pissed off. Next, okay.
It's his brand.
Now that's out of the way.
It's his brand, yeah.
So this is what I did say. I said that I used to be an Elliot hater. Mm. I followed Elliot all the way back to NJ.com and when he did his podcast with that one.
Oh, nice.
And James, I still love you. However, you've become real negative. Here's the thing with Elliot. He's always right. Whether I want to admit to that or not, most of the time, the dude's always right. And it's like, so now I just listen because he's probably right. They're probably going to be half decent next year. I don't see why not. Got a good offensive line, good defensive line. The quarterback looked okay. They got the quarterback coach to work with the quarterback. They need some guys to catch the ball. But besides that, I don't think they're going to suck as bad as everybody thinks.
They're not going to be 4-12. They're just not. Like, if you look at everything that went terrible last year, it's not going to repeat itself that way. They're not, James. And here's what I'd say about James' quote-unquote negativity. It's interesting how people are.
I still love you, James. Just
yeah,
so you know.
Thanks, you can't hate James, buddy. But like, the team was bad last year. Like, I don't get what people want us to say. You know,
it's
like,
hard to be positive.
Yeah, it's hard to be positive about the Eagles. I've clearly been trying. You know, as people can
no,
tell.
No, I get that. But however, it's sort of like if you just think the ground's gonna fall in, then the ground's gonna fall in. Let's put some positive energy into the universe.
Yeah.
And Nick Sirianni. Yeah, the press conference, really scary.
Very worried.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Very worried. But here's the thing. I didn't hire him for press conferences. I hired him for a football mind.
Yeah.
Maybe he's good.
Maybe. And I agree with you, and I hope he is, but I feel like that's the only thing we got with Nick Sirianni. It's just, I hope he's good, right?
Yeah, but, when you look back at Doug's 2016 presser, he looks just as bad.
I know.
It's just the way we view Sirianni.
That's why I said, and Johnny, really good call, man. Call us more often, and I'll give you this. Ellie has been right a lot lately.
I agree with everything Johnny said.
Johnny, great call, man.
Well, if I could just get my fiance to feel that way.
What I will say is... and that's the first – look, the very first thing I said when they hired Nick Sirianni, and I've said it throughout, is, like, I am not saying he's going to be bad, like, because I've made that mistake before. I thought Doug Peterson was a boob. He wasn't. He won us a freaking Super Bowl. I thought Charlie Manuel had no clue what he was going to be doing. I was wrong. He was an amazing manager. I thought Chip Kelly was the greatest thing we'd ever seen. He wasn't. All right? So I know. I've learned enough in my 39 years on this planet to not make declarative statements.
There we go.
Declarative statements that something like that, a head coach who we don't know enough about, is going to be bad. All I can say and all I can do is go off what we've seen so far, and it's not encouraging.
Yeah, look, the only reason to be excited about Sirianni is if you want to give Jeffrey Lurie the benefit of the doubt, just because his track record with head coaches is not bad, right?
I agree.
Doug was better than people thought. Andy, obviously. Yeah. Chip was good at first, and then... you know, it fell apart, obviously. But I think that's the only reason. But let's not fool ourselves. I mean, Sirianni could be a disaster. I mean, no one else interviewed him. He's young. He looked nervous in the presser. Put whatever you want into it, but it wasn't the best first impression in the world.
Never called plays before. He's never been a head coach at any level.
There's reason to be concerned about Sirianni.
215-592-9494. Let's go to North Jersey and talk to Neil. Hey, buddy.
Seltzer, always an honor and privilege to speak to you. Thanks, as always, for taking my call.
Thanks for making it, buddy.
Elliot, thanks. Nice to talk to you as well.
Thank you. Good to talk to you too.
Yeah, I don't mean to. I'm going to ask like a first principles question, right? So I'm just going to ask a very sort of simple, basic question. Mm-hmm. What is a successful Eagle season coming up this year?
To me, it's a successful Eagle season if at the end of the year you feel confident about the quarterback situation.
Irrespective of record.
I'm saying regardless of what the record is, if at the end of the year we're saying Jalen Hurts or the number six pick, it like looks legit, I think that's a successful year.
And Nick Sirianni looks like there's something there.
Well, they're kind of tied together.
Yeah, they're tied together. I agree. But I think those two things are the things that you're hoping to come out of this year with. Yeah.
I ask this because I think, James, you kind of alluded to earlier, I think the Eagles are trying to serve too many masters. Yep. I think they're trying to somehow rebuild a team while at the same time being competitive. And as you know, in the National Football League, those things are usually in opposition. You're either rebuilding to the point where you then become a consistent winner, right? Or you're going for it, either adding free agents or maybe you retool. Those two things are usually in opposition. And I think the problem with what the Eagles are trying to do is they're trying to sort of, you know, walk the line between those two things. And at the end of the day, if we end up being 4-12 again, without an infusion of young talent that makes a contribution, we're back to where we were before. And the issue with Roseman is this. Roseman is, I mean, this is kicking the can down the road. Darius Slay, in my opinion, was not worth the extension that they gave him. He was an average cornerback at best last year, and I think he was a disappointment. And I think the doubling down on Slay is a huge mistake because I don't think he's worth what they paid. And when you bring in a number one corner who's supposed to, you know, shut down your other team's best receiver, he didn't really do that.
Yeah,
he got exposed last year as not really being an elite corner. And I think the problem with, and I just real quick, you know, what Roseman is doing with the cap is typical Howie Roseman. I don't think anybody's ever questioned his ability to manipulate the cap. The question has been talent evaluation. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that we are accepting him being so terrible at talent evaluation because we think he makes up for that deficit with his ability to manipulate the cap. The problem with that, though, is that those two things, again, you can't serve both masters.
Yeah, and ultimately, and Neil, we're up against a great call as usual. Ultimately, on a basic level, where this team is at right now, yeah, they're in cap trouble. They need to fix that. But this team needs talent. The talent evaluation side of things is the single most, at all positions, the single most important thing that the Eagles need to do right over the next couple
of years. Well, and we've seen that the Eagles, in a way, have trouble sticking to rebuilding plan. I mean, they said last year their initial plan was to try to rebuild to a certain degree.
You're right.
And then COVID happened, and they said, well, we have an advantage. Let's jump on it.
Yeah.
So I do think that, like, there'll be times this offseason where they'll be sitting at the NovaCare and go, yeah, look, we got to rebuild, but this free agent is just so cheap. You know, like this 30-year-old player is so good.
It's like, we got to rebuild, but man, this division's really bad.
Right, it's so easy to talk yourself into it. Yeah. And again, we're torn because there are advantages to winning next year. There just flat out are. Like, if Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni are good next year, that's a good thing. But it is hard to do both.
215-592-9494. Where do you come down on this? Do you think the Eagles are trying to serve two masters? Can they serve two masters? Or is it the right thing to do to just rebuild? It's Elliot, it's James, it's Go Birds Radio. And let me remind you that so many of the Go Birds faithful have already joined us, have set up their accounts, and are having a blast. Legally betting on sports makes the games more fun. Like you, we all love the home teams. That's why we go with our home team and have the home field advantage when it comes to sports betting. Our team at Parx Casino Sportsbook is right here in Bucks County. That means your money, your action, safe and secure on their easy-to-use sports betting app. The only sportsbook app backed by the number one casino in the whole state of Pennsylvania, the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. Bet with the best. You can bet on anything and everything. Pro basketball. Elliot and I have been going nuts, having a blast betting on pro basketball. Pro baseball futures are out. If you listen to our last pod, I gave you 13 of my favorite over-unders for this season. There's so much value to be had. Pro hockey, soccer, college hoops, anything and everything. And more than anything, putting a few dollars on the games. Just, it makes it more fun. It's way more fun to watch a random Los Angeles-Dallas basketball game than it used to be, because you can have some action, have some investment. And here's the deal. If you sign up now, you get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Yes, a $500 risk-free bet. Download the app or go to parxcasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS to get your risk-free bet of up to $500. Again, that's parxcasino.com/PA. The website has all the details. Your risk-free bet is refunded on your loss as a free bet. It's Go Birds Radio, presented by Parx Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer, coming your way till 3 o'clock, debating, discussing what this team has done this week.
Trying to decide how we should feel.
Yeah, we're trying to feel this out here. You know, my gut is telling me that I'm nervous about the idea that the Eagles are trying to serve two masters. I think Elliot's a little more okay with it than I am, but still torn because this team has a lot of needs, and they need to fix these things, and it's
kind of
worrisome.
It's exactly how I feel about the Kyle Lowry trade, potentially. I think it would be a bad idea for the Sixers to trade for him, but at the same time, I think they should do it.
Yeah, Kyle Lowry's such a perfect fit for
I know, but he's old, he's a free agent, they're probably not going to beat the Nets.
If they had to give him a deal with it, I would be much more nervous, but if it's a this year, let's go, I mean...
Yeah, but you don't give up a first Maxey and somebody else if you're not going to re-sign him.
Probably not. Yeah, I agree with you. So it's
like
a
on paper,
one.
It doesn't make sense to do that. Just like for the Eagles, on the paper, they should be rebuilding. But then in actuality, I look and I say, well, the NFC East is bad. You want to win for Sirianni and Jalen Hurts.
Sixers have a real shot, though. That's the difference.
I think with Kyle Lowry, they could still beat the Nets.
But with Kyle Lowry, they could beat the Nets in the series. I think right now they could beat the Nets in the series. Yeah, I would take the Nets.
10% chance now.
I
with
think it's
Lowry,
higher
maybe
than
it's
that.
20.
I think it's higher than that. Either way, and Bat, we're going to the phones now. But like, how silly is it to think that people didn't want to trade Tyrese Maxey for James Harden in hindsight?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Agreed.
215.
James Harden's pretty good.
215-592-9494. Let's go to New Mexico and talk to our good buddy David.
Hello, David.
Gentlemen, how you guys doing?
What up, man?
Look, last week I tried to get in and I couldn't because I was working. But I will not, do not, and won't subscribe to this doom and gloom, you know, mindset that the Eagles are going to be horrible next year simply because they were horrible this year and they've got a lot of needs. Look, I saw that movie a long time ago called The Devil's Advocate, and there's a line in that movie from Al Pacino to Craig T. Nelson about hiring Keanu Reeves, who still can't act, as his lawyer to defend him. They'll never see him coming. Look, I love that idea. I love the mentality that Jalen Hurts has right now. You can bring in Troy Aikman Jr., and he's still going to have the mindset, I'm the quarterback of this team. That's what you want. Sirianni, nobody knows anything about him. It is new. And it is to me, it's exciting. I don't think this whole season has to be coming down to in its totality. I think they're aiming for September. You win football seasons a month at a time, in quarters at a time. If they come out of September 2-2, 3-1, expect good things from this team. We've been screaming for years. We need to get younger. We need to get faster. We need to have new light. We need to have fresh eyes. We have all that now. Why is everybody panicking?
No, David,
why is everybody freaking out?
Because they don't. They don't. They don't. You're wrong. Like, I understand your point about Sirianni, and I like Jalen Hurts. I'm in on giving Jalen Hurts a shot. I believe in that guy. I don't know what he's going to be. I'm not sold, but I like the upside there. But they have no young talent on this team, man. Where are your blue-chip young players? Where are your future Pro Bowlers? Where are they?
We have a wide receiver room full of kids.
Oh, who stink, man? Jalen Reagor. Do you believe in Jalen Reagor? You excited about the future of Jalen Reagor?
I am not giving up on Jalen Reagor. This is the first time we've had a wide receiver coach that was actually retained for 2 years.
They've got to have some kind of hope.
They have to have some kind of borderline.
David, I'm all for hope. I'm all for hope. It's just, and great call. I like the fire, but like, I'm all for hope, but I also have to be realistic and look at the situation as is and not say all the question marks are going to end up being positive instead of negative.
His point about a breath of fresh air, I think, is true too, though. I mean, there's going to be some of the same guys, obviously. Like, Brandon Graham's going to be back. Jason Kelsey's back. So it's not completely new faces, but I do think his point about the team has become stale over the last 2 years, like the Carson situation, to a certain degree, the Doug situation, like it was stale. It was hard to watch. It wasn't fun. It was not a good situation.
Fun. It was exhausting.
Exactly. So I think that Dave's point, if they can, you know, come out, no one expects them to be good. They start 2-0, they get confidence in themselves. Like, I can see a world where we're looking at this team in week 7 and saying, yeah, you know what? Doing all these changes, making all these moves was for the positive.
Look, of course that world exists. I just don't think it's a likely world that we're going to see. But yes, of course it does. 215-592-9494. I think I might get yelled at again. Let's go to Denver and Spencer, who says, James has horrible Roseman takes. Mm. Hey, buddy.
Hey, thank you guys for getting me on here. Just quick note, I found you guys week 17 of Carson's rookie year, and ever since then, listened to every single podcast.
Get out of here.
Awesome. So you've been on the roller coaster.
Oh, Spencer, thanks, man. That
means a lot. It's actually my second time calling in. I called in week 7 in 2017 to tell, like, man, I can't believe we got Derek Barnett. These idiots drafted Mahomes, and we got Derek and Sidney Jones, and that's recorded on air. But
we'll have to find that clip.
It's far from. I've said much worse things on air, so no worries.
I know he has. So here's my thing, Elliot. You keep all these Howie takes, and then you always finish with, "Well, why does he win so many games? Why does he win so many games?" I could become the GM of the Chiefs tomorrow, and we make the playoffs for 3 years. He loves Jason Peters.
Okay. All right, sorry. Continue your point.
Brandon Graham, Malcolm Jenkins, Brandon Brooks, all these people. And he's like, well, why does he keep winning? Because the team
He didn't luck into any of those guys. He was integral in drafting Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham. He signed Brandon Brooks. Wow, he brought in Nick Foles.
If Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox were Andy Reid draft picks, we all know that. He signed Brandon Graham.
Okay.
We can go that road.
But he was a general manager, but yes, you're right.
We all know that Andy Reid was in charge then.
My point is, I don't think Howie did not luck into a good situation. I don't think anybody would say that. He did not luck into... Look, like, the team, the 2017 team, yes, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, they were older guys, but, like, Zach Ertz, Lane Johnson, Nick Foles, Carson Wentz, Alshon Jeffrey.
Okay. Outside of Wentz, though, drafted in 2013 or beforehand, and it's 2021 now.
Okay, but... So we drafted good
outside of Wentz, which a debacle since 2013. And I heard you on this call say, well, what if Howie done cap wise? That was terrible. Alshon Jeffrey, these stupid restructures. We just restructured Darius Slay. Look at, Revis Island, corners, legs go, and I guarantee we're going to be on the hook for Darius Slay.
Yeah, I don't like the Darius Slay restructure.
Terrible.
But would you agree?
Howie is by far the worst GM in the NFL.
Spencer was on. What a twist. Yeah, I love this. Spencer, you're my hero.
Yeah, so really quick, Spencer. First, great points. But number two, like, if Howie's so bad, why do they have so many wins? I won't even get into that with you because I know you don't like that point.
Hold on.
Salary cap situation. When have they ever been in a bad salary cap spot until this year?
Because we're in such a bad spot. If you go on overthecap.com, you look at all these dead cap things for every single Eagles player.
I look at that, but my point is,
maybe save 30% because we kicked the can down the road so long.
But kicking the can down the road has never bit this team until this year. And the reason it bit the team this year is because of the pandemic and Carson Wentz.
No.
Okay, how not? No. Okay, tell me how it hasn't.
You can make that argument, but every other team as, every other team is in the same situation. So So why
not,
are we?
Well, not with Carson Wentz. So you're mad
but
at
he
the,
gave Carson Wentz the contract.
Right, so,
that's
so,
a how
let
we
me just be clear.
Family.
You guys are mad at the Eagles for spending a lot of money and putting a lot of resources into the team. Just to be clear.
I'm mad at them for putting it into the wrong
So you're mad
area.
You're mad with the evaluation. You're not mad with the cap
this
management.
This is such a nitpicky thing.
No, it's not,
you.
Because the
Spencer,
way he's managed
call,
the
man.
Cap
call
has
more
always
often.
Worked.
Seriously, that was
that
awesome.
Yeah, that
call
was a
us
great
again.
Call.
Really good call.
The way Howie has managed the cap worked. Flat out. It always has.
But
we can debate the strategy.
That. I get that, but it's also like evaluations go both ways in terms of it's an evaluation that leads to money. Like the evaluation that Alshon would last, that's an evaluation that leads to money
Correct.
Problems.
But the
so
issue
like they
that
are
people
hand
have.
In hand. The Carson Wentz contract is an evaluation that Carson's going to be good for 4 more years or this, that. That was a bad evaluation, but it also led to the salary cap issues. They go hand in hand.
They go hand in hand, but people don't call and say that. People that are mad with Howie say you can't keep kicking the can down the road. That's the main talking point when we talk about people that are upset with Howie. Kicking the can down the road has worked for the Eagles until this year. Now, you can argue it's a reckless strategy because if something like this happens, you're in trouble. It's like when you manage your money, if you put a bunch of stuff on credit card debt, right, and you lose your job, you're in trouble. But up until this year, it had never bit the Eagles, and the pandemic is just not something I can blame them for. So although I agree with the evaluation part, the management itself has worked.
Let's go to Florida and talk to Ja'Cory. Hey, bud.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, what's going on?
All good. Listen, I'm going to stop you right now. I'm tired of all this Darius Slay slander. You know, he was a good corner last year, but he went against some good competition, you know.
Yeah, but that's why they got him, Ja'Cory. They got him to go up against the DK Metcalfs, to go up against the DeAndre Hopkins and have success, and he didn't. He flat out didn't. I mean,
no,
I don't think
he
was horrible.
I
thought he was solid overall, but if we're talking about him being a number one corner, he was not.
I think he was okay. But,
yeah, but you paid for
okay.
more than
exactly.
okay.
Exactly. You paid for him to be a shutdown corner.
You
he
traded a third
that.
And gave him a huge deal.
But
third
going
fifth,
back,
right?
I yeah. think, look, I want to see the young guys play. Like, I want to see, you know, Jalen Hurts play. I want to see Miles Sanders play. I want to see, you know, other guys play the young guys. Like, you know, if we lose with the young guys, I'm okay. But if we pay yep. high price free agents, then I'm upset if we lose.
Yeah, Ja'Cory, good call, and I'm with you. That's how I feel. I
no 1 year deals. Like
if they win because they draft really well, and like Ja'Marr Chase comes in and is awesome right away, and young guys play really well, and Alex Singleton grows, and Mylotta grows, and all that, I'm like
Davion
cool.
Taylor.
Sure, yeah, oh my God. Yes, sure.
The Davion Taylor redemption
Jalen Reagor,
tour.
It'd be cool if he didn't suck. Like, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, you got to win that way. If you're going to win, that's the way you do it, I think. You can't do this with Band-Aids.
215. Yeah, you have to build a sustainable thing. You have to build something that's going to last. 215-592-9494. Spirited, that segment there. We got some
good stuff.
Some debates going. Get involved now. 215-592-9494. How do you feel about what the Eagles did this week and what it means for the season? Are you concerned? Are they trying to compete too much? Is this a bridge too far? Are they only setting themselves up for more problems down the road? Get involved again. It's Elliot. It's James. It's Go Birds Radio. We're coming right back.
Jim. James. Jimothy. Elliot.
It's Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. I don't know if you guys heard it on the middays yesterday. I made some waves by saying E.T., a little overrated.
I would agree with that. And it's my namesake.
I hadn't seen it in years, and my childhood, I loved it. I had this image of it. I went back and watched it. It's a little slow. It takes a while to kind of get where it's going. Like, the first hour is not super entertaining. Like, it's fine,
weird,
and I appreciate it for what it is. Well, because it's E.T., man. But I a little overrated.
Okay.
Well, just putting that out there.
All right. Fair enough. I mean, I'm not going to go back and watch it. I remember watching when I was younger, and again, I've had so many people come up to me and do the Elliot.
Is it the number one Elliot you get, I would think, right? I mean, Jake Elliott, I guess, because he was on the team. You probably
heard
that.
Well, I don't know if
you
saw, but Jason
Elliot
Kelsey.
Elliot Kelsey!
Yeah. So Jason Kelsey had a daughter, for those that don't know, named her Elliot.
Yep.
Elliotte.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Me too.
It's a different spelling.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely like it feels to me like the female version.
Yeah, and I'm guessing you call her Ellie or something like that, which is nice. So.
E. I got E a lot throughout my life.
Sure. I've called you E.
Here's a question.
Elliot.
Here it is. Do you think Jason Kelsey, like, in the back of his mind, was like, well, there already is one Elliot in Philadelphia?
I mean, you're talking
definitely
about
not right?
Jake Elliott? Maybe?
No, Jason.
I know. Yeah, no.
Probably not, right? Okay.
No, my guess is no.
Well, too, very happy for Jason either way.
Yeah,
good week for him.
What a week. Yeah, and he put it in the thing, and you know, good for him, man.
Great dude.
Really, truly, you know, you've covered them. I worked for the team for 3 years and when he was there, and like one of the most thoughtful, respectful, nice, smart athletes I've ever interacted with in my life.
So I remember when I first started covering the team, it was probably my first or second year, I was asking Jason Kelce a question, and I was new on the beat, and I was starting to ask a question, I like tripped over myself, I wasn't really making sense, so he could tell I was getting nervous, and he kind of said like, it's all right, man, slow down, restart, mm-hmm. and I'm like, whew, okay, thank God.
Yeah.
So he's just a good dude.
Yeah.
Eagles, I will say, they have good people in that building on the team,
Graham's
all
like
that
my
stuff.
My favorite person of all time. I've talked many times about Nick Foles, one of the nicest people I've ever met. So yeah,
Malcolm.
That's what made that 2017 team like so many levels to why it was so special. But just the fact that it was a bunch of great guys for the most part, it was a team full of guys you wanted to root for, which isn't always the case.
Not at all. Yeah, Torrey Smith was a great guy.
All of them, Chris Long, like you could just rattle them off, guy after guy after guy after
Vinny.
Guy. He's like good dudes you want to root for, you care about. So. That, I think, just added Roddy McLeod, added to it how special it was. 215-592-9494. Will we ever see that again? I think is the question I think of when I think of 2017 now.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. What do you think about what this team's done this week? We just talked about Kelce, but also restructuring Lane Johnson, Brandon Graham, Darius Slay. Looks like this team might be trying to compete a little bit more than we thought this year. Are you okay with that? Is it the right decision? 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones and talk to my buddy Chiro. Yo, Chiro.
What's going on, James?
How you doing, man? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, no problem, man. You guys doing a great show as always.
Yeah, thanks for calling. How you feeling today?
All right, I got one suggestion for the show, though, man.
All right.
You know how you Ike has the Ike juice?
Yep.
I think you guys need the Go Bird stick. When someone says Go Bird, you need to get the producer to yell out, go Birds or something.
I like it.
It's not a bad idea.
I mean, nothing will ever top Ike Juice. Ike Juice is
just
the best drop of all time.
But it's supposed to be in its own little realm.
I like it. I like it.
On the topic, I'm happy they're doing this. Now, the only move that kind of confuses me is Darius Slay. Mm-hmm. But as far as Zachary, because he's probably gone. But as far as Kelce, Lane, Cox, Brandon Graham, to me, they're lifelong Eagles. I get it. We all want to rebuild, but honestly, no one can show me any evidence of tanking or just losing games that actually helps the team rebuild. I mean, you can't.
It's an interesting point. I mean, look, Joe DiCamera has made the point this week a lot that you really don't have to completely tear it down to rebuild in the NFL. Look, I agree with you that Kelce, Graham, Cox, like these are lifetime Eagles. But you can't really make decisions that way, too. You know, like that's kind of what got him in trouble. As much as I can sit here and say, yes, I agree, and maybe I would do it as well. Like, that's why Darren Sproles was here for so long. Jason Peters, all these guys, how he's admitted he's been too emotional with these decisions.
I agree.
And
so I agree.
To see
and
that
Peters,
again.
Is, I will lose my mind if he's back. I will. It's time.
Get ready for it.
Chiro, me and you, we're gonna lose our minds together, my friend.
I'm going to go out there and hold up a picket sign saying it's time to go, JP. It's time to go.
Yeah, Chiro, great call, man. Call us again.
Why have you done this? Why?
That will be me. But again, live, I'll make the same exact drop if they re-sign Jason.
So you would really have a huge issue with him coming back as a backup? Like, if they say he's a backup, they stick to it, he's on the bench, you would really care that much about it? Good veteran guy. I think he's going to get into a coach. We've talked about how he's helpful to the backups.
Is he, though? Like, yes. All right, so the impression of Jason Peters that is most recent in our mind, and really the one we've had, is a guy who, you know, forced players off the team and Wisniewski, and you know, we've had these issues with Jason Peters, someone who clearly didn't want to help Andre Dillard when Dillard was supposed to be the starter and he was supposed to be
we don't know that.
Refused to move to tackle until he got paid more money. Like all these types of things where it's like, oh, so now Jason Peters is Mr. Team Guy who wants to come and help everybody.
Well, I do think
bet he just wants to get another paycheck. Mm-hmm. Like that's the way I look at it. So no, I don't think of it. I think of it as if Jason Peters is sitting there behind Jordan Mailata or Andre Dillard, you never know, I guess. Like, I just think that's an impediment. That's an issue. That's where these guys are sitting there thinking, well, Jason Peters is there, you know. Geez.
Well, that's a different point. I mean, if your argument is you can't have Mailata looking over his shoulder. That's different, right? I can see that. But I think you're a little harsh on, like, the Peters as a person type of thing. I do think that he is helpful in the locker room.
I don't think he's a horrible human or anything like that. I just, you know, the things he's done the last few years have rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah,
but, and I look at him differently than I did prior from a legacy standpoint. But, no, I'm not saying, like, he's a bad guy.
Like, I wouldn't sign him to any substantial amount of money.
Of course not. If it's a veteran minimum if you're signing him. Like, because you don't even need him as a backup. You've got Andre Dillard and Mailata fighting it out. You've got Jack Driscoll. You've got these younger guys. So my point, too, is that if someone gets hurt, I'd rather it's a younger guy who comes into play than Jason Pierce, too.
That's probably where I would fall, but I wouldn't be up in arms if they brought him back. Now, I will say, as I'm talking to myself about this, using a roster spot on him doesn't sound ideal. But I think if he's going to come in and be helpful to young players, I think there's an advantage.
It could be. I just don't know.
But then again, I guess just hire him as a coach.
Yeah, hire him as a coach. That was my first thought, was like, why isn't he just a coach then if this is the – because he gets more money to be a player. Like, I don't need Jason Peters back on this team. I really don't. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Lehigh Valley and talk to Ivor. Hey, Ivor, how you been, man?
Not bad. Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in. How you doing?
Not bad at all. Now, first of all, I take no issue with Howie's cap skills. My concern for the Eagles, all the turnover that we're having, the turnover is great. I love it, but I just want to make sure it's not the same eyes evaluating these players. Mm-hmm. To me, that's a bigger concern. Secondly, I don't think it's that difficult to win in our division. I think that the players that are still on the roster, we still have leadership on the field, right? Kelsey, once I heard that he was coming back, I felt really good because I think that the core leadership of the team is still there. Now, as far as Jalen Hurts, I think you're winning in this division. It's not that good of a division. Yeah. We don't really know how good these receivers are. This offense sucked last year. Carson Wentz sucked, but the offense also sucked. They didn't run the ball. Everybody knew they were about to throw the ball. The offensive line was broken down the whole time. So, I mean, I don't see that we need to panic and think that, okay, we need to sign all these high-priced free agents. And we need to trade back and get players. This team needs talent. We need young talent.
So I'm not as big of a fan on trading back. I get the logic behind it. And look, if you can get the guy at 9 that you wanted at 6, sure. But
get a big package. Like, correct. It's like if Justin Fields is at 6 and you're not taking him and Denver and Carolina are fighting to get up there, like, I get it.
Yes,
but I'm more with you, but I get it.
Like, if I'm sitting at 6 and Jamar Chase is there, I'm just taking Jamar Chase.
But here's the problem, though. I'm so worried about when they're going to spend that pick on one player and then they screw it up.
Howie's been good inside the top 10, for what it's worth. I mean, Lane Johnson and Carson.
That's what scares me. But I just think that these receivers that we have in the room, everybody's saying, well, they're not good. I don't feel like I know that.
Because of how poor Carson played. Yeah.
The offense sucked last year.
Well, I think you could say it with a couple. I mean, I agree. Rager, like, I'm, you know, I'm not optimistic, certainly, about him being a really good player. Like, maybe he'll be a good player. It's possible. But, like, with J.J., I think we could say he's not good. Like,
I wasn't talking about J.J. I'm talking about Fulgham, Ward.
Who knows? Like, I liked some Quez Watkins stuff that I saw in the last year.
It applies to the whole team, too. I think that's the thing people overlook sometimes. They got the worst quarterback play in the NFL last year.
Yep. Yes.
If Jalen Hurts can even just be the 20th best quarterback, they're probably a 6 or 7 win team. So,
and the worst offensive lane. Don't forget about that.
I think Carson had a lot to do with the offensive line, too.
Well, because it fell apart.
Ball.
He's talking more the injuries and that 12 line, out of 13 weeks or whatever it was.
That offensive line was broken down in the second half of the Redskins game. Yeah. And it's never been the same.
Yeah, Ivor, great call, man. Call us again more often. I do get that point that it's hard to evaluate certain people based on what we saw last year because Carson was such
a it's hard to evaluate almost any part of the team when your quarterback is that
offensively
bad.
Offensively.
Well, yeah, true. I mean, but you could, if you really wanted to make the point, it impacts the defense too because the
on
offense
the field
was so bad.
More
yeah,
and all
that.
Yeah, but like that's minimal. I'm not going to say we can't judge the defense because Carson had so many turnovers.
I don't think that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is a new quarterback away from being really good.
No, but I'll bet he's on the team. 215.
I don't know about that. I think he'll be here in training camp. Whether he'll make the roster, I don't know. But I tell you this, they're probably not trading him.
Really? You think so?
I don't think they will.
What could you get for JJ? Do you think you get a bag of balls?
I think you could like move up in the 7th round.
No, I don't think you could.
You don't think you move up like 5 spots?
No, I don't. I really don't. JJ?
There's no littler value in the NFL, maybe.
Or I know there isn't.
Maybe you trade him for another guy that's
going to
get
cut. I guess if another team.
Like a body for a body type of situation?
Maybe. I just doubt it. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Westchester and talk to Brian. Hey, Bri.
Hey, guys. You know, forget about the last place schedule and how bad the NFC East is. Getting rid of Carson Wentz and Jim Schwartz should net you at least 4 wins. Carson Wentz.
Real quick. I'll let you make your point. I agree with you on Wentz. That matters that he was so bad last year. But the Schwartz thing, first of all, we have no idea what this new defensive coordinator is like, so we can't make any, you know, he might be way worse. And I think Jim Schwartz gets a bad rap in this city. I think Jim Schwartz, for the most part, did a good job.
You could not draft a defensive back or linebacker and have him have an impact on this defense with Jim Schwartz. Nate Gary, we were subjected to him, not because he could play football, but he could line people up in that overly stupid, complex defense.
Is that Jim Schwartz's fault, or is it the roster construction?
Well, Jim did have to say in defensive personnel. To what extreme, I don't think any of us truly know that answer. But, you know, to his point, though, I think that, again, not having Carson will help. But also, I do think just, you know, seeing new guys, new faces, I will be interesting to see just how they do.
I mean, Pro Football Focus could not evaluate, and that's their job. That's how they make money. They could not evaluate other players on the offense because of how bad Wentz was.
Yeah.
And you had an offensive lineman, Jason Peters, who goes to the owner and tells him to bench him. That's how bad Wentz is.
Well, look, the good news is the chances of them getting the same level of quarterback play next year are slim. Like, the chance of them getting the 32nd worst quarterback play just are not good. I think Jalen Hurts, if he even plays the level he did last year for 17 games, they'll be a considerably better team.
Yes, and people are nuts worrying about money. You don't worry about money when you're rebuilding. The greatest teams ever, from the Cowboys to the Steelers to whoever you want to name, are built basically on two drafts. We need two great drafts. The money is not an issue.
Brian, good call. I don't think I agree with that last statement. You have two good drafts and you're
Super
Bowl
winner.
Well,
maybe he's saying build through the draft, I guess.
Well, yeah, I'm saying that too, but like two good drafts and you're a Super Bowl winner? I don't think so. I don't think that's the way it works.
Well, Howie did it with no good drafts, so.
Well, Howie made great moves outside of that,
yes.
You know, regardless, he did. And look, to be fair, that 2016 draft was a good draft. I mean, he got Carson Wentz.
Carson and Seumalo. Yeah,
Carson Seumalo, Big V was a starter
on
a football Super Bowl team. Jalen Mills.
Right.
Like, that was
you're
a good draft. And Clement as an undrafted free agent last year.
I forgot.
That was a good year. Like, I can say
I
when
stand
he had a good
here,
year.
Corrected.
How about that? I got one right.
Wrong.
215-592-9494. Let's go to Mount Laurel and talk to my buddy Dennis. Hey, Den.
Selfman, how you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
ESP, how you doing?
What up, man? How you doing?
I'm still vertical. I got my second shot yesterday.
Oh, good to hear it.
Congrats. Mazel.
And I have – thank you for that. I only had mild after effects. I had a little arm sore. It's already gone. I had a little chills and a little laziness, but that's all gone, and I'm vertical, and I'm ready to go.
That's nice. Awesome. Yeah, my wife got the shots, and she had no issues, no after effects. So that's awesome, Dennis.
I've had a couple buddies, you know, were laid up for a day or two, you mm-hmm. know, so – I'll take it and I'll go. Hey, on the draft pick, I'm thinking we need one of those two wide receivers. What are your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I
love Jamar Chase. So,
well,
yes.
So if you throw Kyle Pitts in there, how would you rank them? So Chase, Devonta Smith, and Kyle Pitts. Where are you at with that?
Pitts is due tight end. I take him third because we have a serviceable tight end.
Yeah. Pitts, though, is just viewed as
he's
such a weapon.
Very intriguing. He's an intriguing guy. Like, he does seem like the kind of player you could be versatile with. You can move. He's as much a wide receiver as a tight end, but he's not. He's not like a wide. He runs a 4.7.
Right.
He's not going to run past people, but he's an intriguing prospect.
So, to me, Chase is the pick. If he's on the board at 6,
too.
Take Jamar Chase.
I got a question for both of you. Other than Jason Peters, is there anybody on the current Eagles roster going to make the Hall of Fame?
Zach Ertz, I think, has a good chance.
I don't think a good chance. I think he has a chance.
I think
he would need some more years.
But who on the roster has a better chance?
Well, I don't think any of them have a really good chance.
He's
I think
the best.
No, I think Fletcher Cox is more of a Hall of Famer than
I don't
know. And I like
Fletcher
and,
was.
And
like
I don't think he is either. I think the guys who at least are even mentionable are Kelsey, Cox,
Ertz,
and maybe Lane if he gets, you know, 4 or 5 more great years here. But I don't think any of them are Hall of Famers.
One last opinion. I agree with that. I think Ertz is marginal, but I think he hurt himself in the last year or two, and I'll leave it at that. And I just want to say last thing, hello to my good buddy BK, who's probably listening. Don't work too hard, my man, today. Go home.
Dennis, well said. I'll say that to BK. Don't work too hard.
You know, The Zach Ertz thing is weird to me. When you look at it, what he's done for the team, I'm surprised he's not mentioned more as like all-time great Eagles. Like top
five. Oh, I agree
five,
with you on that. Like, that's a separate discussion from Hall of Fame, but he should be. I mean,
well, but his numbers are, I mean, granted, tight ends catch more these days. I get that. He gets a lot of targets, but I mean, he's going to have one of the best receiving resumes as a tight end.
He's
ever.
Getting passed. I mean, like, he's playing at the same time as Travis Kelce, and it's going to look minuscule compared to what Travis Kelce is going to end up with. Ertz right now is not, if Ertz is, goes somewhere else and has three good years, then I think it's more of a discussion, but I just don't think he's look, at no point was he the best at his position in the sport.
Oh, I would disagree with that.
Really?
Didn't he set the NFL record for receptions by a tight end?
Yeah, but do you think he was better than Travis Kelce that year?
That year, you could make the argument, I think.
I mean, you could say he had a lot of catches. I don't know. Look, I'm not trying to demean.
Fletcher,
I think
has Fletcher
your point
ever been
about
the best defensive
Eagle,
tackle?
But he's been an all-pro more than Ertz has, right? And Jason Kelce certainly has more all-pros than Ertz does.
Yeah, I think
has
it's
Ertz
tougher
ever,
for the
has
offensive
Has Ertz ever
lineman.
Been an all-pro? I don't think he's ever been an all-pro.
I don't think the year he set the record
Yeah, I don't
was.
Think you're making the Hall of Fame with never being an all-pro. Like, I just don't. Like, regardless, to the Eagles' point, Zach Ertz should be considered one of the greatest Eagles of all time.
Yeah.
Like, a top tenner. Like, who has more big catches in the history of the franchise? Who? I'm waiting.
Yeah, nobody.
Who? Anybody?
No.
No! No! So I'm with
or
you
more
from
catches.
An Eagles
I mean, he's
perspective.
Only, he's about to be, if he were to stay, he'd be number one. So, yeah, you're probably right about the Hall of Fame. But I still think when him and Fletcher are the best on the team. I guess Kelce actually is in there as well. It's those three.
Yeah, I think so too.
And would Nate, be. Obviously.
Nate Gary or Sudfeld?
I mean, either one, I guess you could go with.
Classic.
Yeah.
Sudfeld. Immediate Hall of Fame.
Sudfeld season.
Sudfeld season, 215-592-9494. It's Elliot, it's James, going till 3 o'clock. I believe the legend Robbie E coming up after that. Until then, we got you. Get involved at 215-592-9494. And let me remind you that so many of the Go Birds faithful have already joined us, have set up their accounts, and are having a blast. Legally betting on sports makes the games more fun. And like you, we all love the home team. That's why we go with the home team and have the home field advantage when it comes to sports betting. Our team at Parx Casino Sportsbook is right here in Bucks County. That means your action, your money, safe and secure on their easy-to-use sports betting app. The only sportsbook app backed by the number one casino in the whole state of Pennsylvania. The Parx Casino Sportsbook app. Bet with the best. You can bet on anything and everything. Elliot and I have been having a blast betting on pro basketball lately. Pro baseball futures are out. Over unders. I just gave you 13 of my favorite on our most recent pod if you want to check that out. And anything else you can think of. Hockey, you can bet on it. Soccer, you can bet on it. College hoops, everything and everything, even live in-game betting, player props. And more than anything, it just makes the game so much more fun to watch. When you got a little action on it, you're more invested. It's more fun. So download the app now, and here's the deal. If you sign up now, you get a risk-free bet of up to $500. $500! Download the app or go to parxcasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS to get your risk-free bet of up to $500. Again, that's parxcasino.com/PA. The website has all the details. Your risk-free bet is refunded on your loss as a free bet. It's Go Birds Radio, presented by Parx Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot and James coming to 3 o'clock. Rob Ellis after that. Where are you standing with the Eagles right now?
It's an emotional time with the Eagles.
It's an emotional time.
It was a weird week. Again, like the Kelce thing, the Darius Slay thing.
The Slay thing caught me out. And I even texted you when it happened. I was like, Slay restructure? That's weird. Literally what I texted you.
A little weird they haven't done Javon Hargraves. They could end up doing it. Report this week they're talking to Barnett, excuse me, which is to be expected. I mean, you're going to talk to your guys like that. It'll be interesting how much cap space they end up with. I think, you know, this time next week, we always, for months, it was this time next week or was Carson going to be on the team, right? This time next week, how much salary cap space do you think they have?
$12 million.
Yeah, I think it's going to be something like that. People are going to say, how did they get this much money? And then they'll sign somebody.
Yep.
And people will go, how did they have the money to do that?
And then it's going to be like, Darius Slay is owed $24 million in 2 years.
Well, the interesting thing about the cap hits, too. So, you know, you hear $24 million, you're like, that's a lot. But in 2 years, the cap could be like $240 million. So it doesn't.
Okay, quick,
it's better to look at
that.
The percentage.
I have a quick question about that. And we're right back to the funds after. But, like, and I agree with you. Look, it has gone up and up and up. And like, there's new,
TV deal
coming, which will probably be like double what it was now. Like, it's going to be nuts. And Amazon and all these other people are getting involved. And everything's going up. But at a certain point, like, it can't just keep going up every year, right? Like, is there, and obviously the pandemic aside, we saw that it couldn't because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
But outside of some, you know, act of God type of thing, like, is it just one of those things that's just going to keep going up every year?
I guess. I mean, look, the NFL is unstoppable, right? They're the they're the best TV show on television. Like, they get more ratings than any other show.
By far.
So, you know, look, is the cap going to be $400 million in the year 2030? Or I guess a little longer than that. 2030 sounds so far away.
It does.
It's only 8 years.
It's not that far.
Yeah. But look, I guess maybe there's a cap limit essentially, but the cap is going to continue to grow. Like, and I think what it'll be in 2022, it could be like $225 million. So the Eagles will be fine financially. I'm not worried about the salary cap with the Eagles.
215-592-9494. Let's go to Allentown and talk to Matt. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how y'all doing today? Doing a great show.
Thanks. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Before I get to my Eagles point, I got to say I did it. I put money down for the Phillies to win the division, the Sixers to win the conference, and to win it all.
Nice.
I'm all in.
I like it.
Good stuff, man. Well done. Yeah.
I think they got a chance, especially because now you bet on them now before they get Kyle Lowry. Those odds are going to drop.
I think both those things could happen. I don't know if I'd bet on them, but they could happen for sure.
I was surprised the Phillies were only 800-1. I mean, I thought they'd be a lot higher odds, but.
What did you say? 800-1? No.
Yeah. 8-1.
Okay. 8-1 seems like a lot more. I was like, 800-1. There's no way they're 800-1. Yeah.
To win the World Series?
8-1. 8-1. Even then, they're not 800-1. No one's 800-1 to win the World Series, I don't think. Like, maybe there are a couple, but anyway, go ahead.
All right. Well, I think the biggest part on this team, because the offense is, you got to tune it up, but the defense needs to be fixed. If Surtain is there, you have to grab him or Micah Parsons. You cannot let this defense go on the field or to be like the Dallas Cowboys defense in Philly, and they'll be run over everybody. You have to stop.
It's an interesting point. Look, no matter who they take at number six, no matter who they take at number six has to be an impact player. So if you think Surtain is a best chance of being an impact player, I can't fault you for going that. I do think in general, look, like the game is won by offense these days, right? You win by passing the ball. So going on with a guy like Jamar Chase makes sense. I don't like Micah Parsons as a prospect. So, and I wouldn't take a linebacker that high. Obviously, you look at some of the linebackers last year that made big impacts. It's possible. I just don't think Parsons is that good. But Surtain, you know, if they took him and he turns into an all-pro player, obviously it's a great pick. I just think the pick can be used for a better asset that can impact the game more. Like Darius Slay had a great year last year. They were 4-12. So, you know, you want to go with someone that's going to help the offense and help this team win.
And real quick, I mean, my sleeper for the draft when it comes to the season, I think Amari Rodgers has got the skill set of Michael Thomas, and you can pick him up in the third round.
Good call, Matt. We'll have to look into that. I don't know my Amari Rodgers as well as I should. I'm still going to dig deeper.
Yeah,
I've been so focused on this six pick, like, and you know, we've talked on the pod, but I'm watching like all kinds of, you know, tape, a.k.a. YouTube highlights of all these guys. I'm locked in.
Well, that is the exciting part about him being so high is, you know, there's
look at those guys.
There's five guys.
It's it's going to be one of eight guys they're going to take at that side. You know, whatever
you
want to
say. And then they pick high in the second round, too. Mm-hmm. You know, you can maybe trade up. But
I will say, and I am not on the drafted quarterback bandwagon or anything like that, but and we've talked about this on the pod, but I was watching more Justin Fields highlights last night.
Yeah, you're in
on him. It's unbelievable. He's like the most underrated person this draft somehow. Like, I don't know how he's not, at worst, a top three pick. Like, it's those three guys, Lawrence, Wilson, Fields, should be the top three picks in the draft, no matter who the picks are. Like, people should trade up for them. Like, he's awesome, Justin Fields.
So Justin Fields or Jalen Hurts?
I mean, I don't know, to be honest. I mean, Justin Fields, probably, but I don't know if it's – I don't feel confident enough to for the upheaval and the whole thing. Like, I still believe – Hurts has a chance, too. I like Hurts. But Fields looks really good, man.
So we got an interesting question this week. I'll throw it at you. If Jalen Hurts was in this year's draft, like we saw him in the NFL last year. So
counting that, like with that idea.
What you saw out of him last year.
Ooh.
He's in the draft this year. Where does he go?
He's a first rounder, I think, based on what he showed in the NFL.
Did you get the fifth year?
Yeah, I think he jumps up. But I think he goes after those top three for sure. And I don't know.
I think Trey Lance probably goes ahead of
him. He might. They're similar upside type guys.
Our boy Mac Jones.
More athletic. Oh, God. No.
To be clear, not our boy Mac Jones.
Not our boy. In fact, we named our podcast this week, The Eagles Drafting Mac Jones Would Break Us. So
emotionally.
That's literally how we feel about it. 215-592-9494. Let's go to South Philly and talk to Kevin. Hey, Kev.
Afternoon, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Hey, listen, I rarely call in because of other callers. but there have been two callers that just drove me nuts today. One of them calls you every week and says something stupid, and I can generally ignore it because I'm painting my house or doing something productive with my life while he's finishing up his Dungeons & Dragons game or whatever.
All right, let's
doing.
Not be too mean to the callers. What do you disagree
all right,
with?
All right. I apologize. Right. the other one called and said how complex the defensive coordinator scheme is. Clearly, two people that don't know anything about football. Drives me insane. The other thing that made me call today is that I had a reckoning. I don't agree with Elliot Shore Parks on anything he says, ever.
Man, you're just hitting all Mr. Positivity so far. Go ahead, though.
However, I have ended up agreeing with him on two things today, so I feel like my world is fresh.
Welcome to the right side of the argument.
How about that? What do you agree with?
I'm on his side with the general manager. I've also come to his side on the quarterback that was just traded.
Yeah, I think a lot of us did on that one.
Yeah, so the reason why I'm calling about the general manager is you got people calling up and talking about what an idiot he is and he's a moron and yada yada. He's a general manager in the NFL. Obviously, he's a complete idiot. Okay. But my comment is that over the last 4 years, I talked to Rob Ellis about this once, and I feel like a loser because I keep calling people and saying the same thing, is there's been no development of these players. You could not possibly have missed on every single draft pick over a four-year period of time and have no development.
It's an interesting point that the coaches deserve some of the blame here for what Howie gets. It's an interesting argument.
It would be truly the case that you would have to heave-ho the entire staff out of town and the general manager if not one player, not any of them, got any better. I can think of one story of development that was really significant, and that was on the defensive line.
Well, Josh Sweat.
Josh Sweat.
Jordan Mailata, too.
Yeah, and Jordan is kind of like a, I don't know, he's kind of
They give him credit for that, but that Stoutland, I don't think people are questioning Stoutland as a coach. Kevin, this is a good call, a really interesting theory, and we've heard ideas of this, especially when, Rasul Douglas was playing really well and he tailed off, and Sidney Jones was playing really well and tailed off. People call with that.
Both free agents, by the way.
Yeah, I think ultimately, let's get him. I think it comes back, though, ultimately to, look, Howie's the one who's hired the coaching staff. Howie's in charge of the franchise. You can't just give him
a pass. Howie deserves the blame and credit for everything, right? I mean, he's the guy that runs the team, and it's not just, obviously you go to every team and go, the general manager deserves blame and credit. Howie is in on everything. So the team goes and struggles with Howie. So, yeah, absolutely. At the end of the day, Howie deserves a blame when the team is not doing
And also,
well.
There are certain guys, scheme, all that stuff really matters in the NFL with players and players being in the right scheme and in the right situation and all that. But, sometimes players are just really good and sometimes players are just really bad. You're not going to tell me that if a great player came in here, a superstar player, that Jim Schwartz ruins him. I don't think so. I don't believe that.
Justin Jefferson succeeding no matter where
he
goes.
It
wasn't
exactly
like he was in a phenomenal situation in Minnesota. I mean, Kirk Cousins played better than Carson did last year. They have, good pieces on that offense. But, I've become the Howie defender for some reason. But, there's no denying it. There has not been top-end talent brought in here. There just hasn't been, or at least not enough of it. Miles Sanders, I think, is very good. He didn't have a great year last year, but I think he's probably the closest they have on the roster to an elite type talent. Mm-hmm. Just when you watch him physically, Jalen Hurts, I think, has some of that potential as well. To be honest, just the eye test, Goddard's up there, but there's not a Justin Jefferson. There's not somebody where the second you watch him, you go, that guy's super good.
Yep. Exactly. 215-592-9494. Haven't heard from this guy in a while. I'm guessing he's going to be more on the negative side than positive, but we'll see. We haven't spoken to Ron and Monco in forever. Ron, buddy, how are you?
Hey, I thought Jason Peters went into the witness protection program.
I thought you went into the witness protection program. Where you been, Ron?
Hard to kill, dude.
You doing all right, buddy?
What's up? ESPN.
How's it going?
What's going on?
Doing good, man. Good to hear from you.
Listen, they're going to screw this up. How's that?
Exactly what I
expected.
They're
going to screw it up.
I don't know, man. I mean, look, they had one bad
year.
Listen,
they're making this more complicated, ESPN. Hear me out.
I like that.
They're making this more complicated than it needs to be. This thing is DOA, dead on arrival. Don't try to resuscitate this. Don't put a dime into this. Okay,
so
any knucklehead can pay a credit card bill with a credit card.
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Say it again.
We get. Let me ask you.
He said anyone can pay credit card bill with a credit card.
Yeah, I mean that's all they're doing. They're doing what they do, what they've been doing. Okay,
and it's worked. What they've been doing has been working. What they've been doing has been working up until the pandemic.
Yeah, but this is the time to. This is the time to get right. This is it. They are closer to oblivion than they are to a 10-17.
You're wrong. So, you're wrong about that. You'll see it next year.
No, I'm not wrong.
Okay, we'll see. Look, man.
We will see.
They've had double-digit losing seasons back-to-back years once under Jeffrey Lurie. The chances
Listen,
of them—
Listen, if you weren't in the NFC East, would have had a losing record for the last
are.
5 years.
They are, but they are in the NFC. So, like, the
okay.
chances
well,
next
that,
year—
that doesn't that doesn't mean anything to me. And you guys are worried about a playoff game. Everybody's worried about this stupid playoff game. We just won a Super Bowl 3 years ago. How can we even talk about a playoff game? This is about fixing this team, getting fiscally responsible, getting young, exciting, new, vibrant talent. That's what it's about.
Yeah, but you can do both. You can do those
no,
things
you
while
can't
also
do both.
Yes, you absolutely can. If you get Ja'Marr Chase at number six and he's awesome, that helps your chances of winning the division next year. If you
okay,
sign a free
guess
agent,
what?
That's awesome.
Okay, I'll take here while we're on that. Good swap. I'll take Chase. But if you can't get Chase, I want linemen.
Yeah, if there's one
That's
there,
what
I
want.
Agree. You build
linemen,
with the
if
line.
If you can't get Chase, I don't want to give up any picks
Ron,
for anybody.
Ron, look, great call. It's good to hear your voice, buddy. Call more often. We missed you. But, I mean, I agree with the heart of what he's saying, just not the way he's saying it. But I do agree that the way out of this for the Eagles long term is to be fiscally responsible, to draft and develop players. Like, drafting and developing players, number one thing, we can all agree on that, and that helps with the salary cap because you have young, cheap talent that you can count on. It changes things. You know, that's how you can build. But, they need to do that first and foremost, and that'll help solve everything.
The way to get out of this, if you're the Eagles, is to just get a good quarterback and a good head coach.
Yeah, well, that's
I'm just saying. I mean,
too.
That's it. Like, if Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni are really good, then you're fine.
Well, you need great. You need great. And you need the rest of the roster. You need, unless they're going to be top three in the sport, you need the rest of the roster to be damn good, too.
Sure.
215-592-9494. It's Elliot. It's James. Rob Ellis coming up in just 20 minutes from now. We got you for one more segment. We will get to your calls. Get in now. 215-592-9494. It's Elliot. It's James. It's Go Birds Radio. We're coming right back. This is Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Final segment for us. Robbie, the legend, coming up at 3 o'clock, Elliot and James, let's try and get to as many calls as we can before we get out of here. Let's go to Jersey and talk to Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for calling in.
First time caller, but a long time pod listener.
Oh,
love you guys.
Oh, we had no idea. That's awesome. Thanks, Steve. We really appreciate that, man.
Yeah, no problem, man. I hate how Howie drafts. Obviously, he's been doing crappy for years now. Mm-hmm. But I do like the fact that he can restructure contracts in a cool way. Like, as you see, like, the whole Graham thing, and the fact that Kelsey's, like, so happy to come back at least shows me something, a little positivity into this negative time that we're in right now. I take that as, a positive sign a little
Steve,
bit, you know?
Steve, I will say, as the person on this show who's been more negative about this team right now in the moment and looking forward, I am with you on that. Like, the idea that Jason Kelsey, I thought he was going to retire. Like, I really did.
Exactly.
And the fact that
he
wants
every
to come back makes me feel, even if it's like 5% better about it, it does make me feel better about this team.
He's like hyped to be back. So, that makes me happy. And the team's going to go as far as how Hurts can perform. And hopefully Sirianni is a decent enough coach that we can get the job done, you know?
Yeah, you know, what's funny about Sirianni is he's almost flying under the radar a little just because of all the Carson drama, the quarterback drama, the Howie drama, salary cap. But, yeah, I mean, like, Sirianni is – arguably the number one thing that's going to drive this team. Just because if you have a bad head coach, Hurts would have to be really special to overcome a bad Sirianni.
Exactly. And I like how he's flying under the radar a little bit, man, because, you know, we don't want a lot of people.
I'm sure he does, too.
I'm sure he needs it.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Steve, call us more often. Really good call, man. Thanks, man.
Definitely. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah,
awesome.
Always good to hear from a pod listener.
That's the best. It makes my day. Let's go to stay in Jersey and talk to my buddy Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy.
James Elliott, good day to you, fellas.
Good day to you, man. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I understand your apprehension about, you know, some of the Eagles signings, but it actually makes sense if you give it a minute to sink in. I can make a case for those guys that want to, like, strip everything down to the, you know, brass tacks and move on from there. But the draft that we're going into, you have to be adding it to something, and the guys that they're signing are the to something.
Yeah.
Assigning interior linemen, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, that's good business, right there. And the Slay signing kind of surprised me a little bit at first, but when you really think about it, who's higher on the depth chart? If you're going to start building a defensive secondary, Slay's got to be a part of it.
Well, the other part of it really quick is there's just only so many players on the roster that make enough money that it's worth restructuring. So Slay is a nice combination of makes a lot of money and is also a high-level player. I think to a certain degree he was more valuable as a trade asset, but if all you're going to get is a fifth or a sixth for him, I see the argument in redoing the deal.
Well, you're absolutely right, and he continues, unless there's a no-trade clause, he continues to be a trade chip.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's good on a lot of fronts. And going forward, the Eagles have, you know, we're in the weakest, let's admit it, we're in the weakest position we've been in years. But we have to remain consistent, and we have to remain viable. And the viable part, as ridiculous as it sounds, means trying to at least contend for the National League East. So, National League East. I'm sorry.
Jimmy, you're a baseball guy. Came through there. I know you're a Phillies guy. I love it.
Yeah, I am a Phillies guy, and I came through. But
you're making a lot of good points.
Viable.
Yeah, Jimmy, great call. And look, he makes a lot of good points. Like, as someone who has been, you know, team tear it down, team get high draft picks, play young players and all that, like, there is, I'm not blind. Like, I have to admit, there is value to having veteran presence, to setting a culture, to helping Nick Sirianni along. Like, there's value to having these guys here. I just worry that they're doing too much of it than they should be.
And it's the same argument when in 2018 and 2019, I guess more 2019, when the Eagles won the last four to make the playoffs and they got in at 9-7, I guess, there was debate like, well, it's not worth it because, you know, it's not worth it just to get in. You're just going to lose. And they did lose, but it was important for Carson. And ultimately, you know,
that doesn't matter anymore. But yeah, in a moment, no, yeah.
It's important for Jalen Hurts to have success if he's going to be your guy. It's important for Justin Fields to have success if he's your guy. It's important for Nick Sirianni. Like, so yes, I am Mr. Tear It Down. I would go that path. But to the last caller's point, you do have to have something to give these guys a chance.
Let's go to Orlando and talk to Bill. Hey, Bill.
Gentlemen.
How's it going? Thanks for calling in.
Doing good. I see the divide. There seems to be divides in everything that we kind of can talk about these days. And there's no absolutes. I guess we all have to see what's going to happen next year. But looking at trends with Howie, I just see a downward trend with him. Mm-hmm. And Elliot, listening to you, you're kind of trying to separate the evaluator from the cap guy. And I've heard other hosts on the station kind of say, to a sense, put Howie aside sometimes and look at things. And I just don't see the feasibility of keeping him around. I know it's nothing we can do about it. But
Look, when the season ended, I probably would have been in the corner of fire Howie. I think that a complete rebuild is needed, and I can make the argument that Howie's not the one to oversee that. But now that he's here, and now that he is the guy, I think that there's a little too much negativity with him. Is he a top 10 general manager? Probably not, but I don't think he's the 32nd general manager.
Yeah, I don't think we can really look at general managers and place them on a chart that way. I think that's impossible, and it is impossible. But just looking at him, I kind of see how we're backed into it because of the pandemic. It's just real ironic how we talk about, getting rid of the players we keep around because of sentimentality and all that stuff, and then now we're kind of forced to extend them by redoing their contract.
No,
it's just bad situation.
Bill, great call. And that's it is a good point, like, because that was one of our worries, right? And we talked about this, that the older players, and even how we talked about it, even how we said, I got to get past this. I got to do better with this. Like, I know I've had issues getting rid of these guys. Like, I need to do this. And I agree. Like, the guys they're doing, it seems like the right guys. Like, I would have brought, if I had to pick the veteran swimming back, other than the Slay thing.
Lane, Kelsey.
Brandon. Like, I get it, but I'm just concerned they're going to go a little too far.
And also, the guy says you can't rank general managers.
You absolutely can.
I mean, rank anything in the world. Yeah. You give me a list, I'm a big list guy.
And
all right?
But to his point, I do think, like as I said before, it's hard to separate the salary cap and the evaluator because they go hand in hand. But ultimately, on a basic level, if we do that, and that I concede to that, the draft evaluator talent part is still the more important part of the job.
Yeah, and the reason I think you can separate them a little bit is because one is strategy, the other is evaluation. Like, I think his cap strategy has worked. It's just the evaluation is different. But it's a chicken and the egg thing. I mean, they're so tied together.
All right, let's get one more call in here. Let's go to Wilmington and talk to my buddy Sean. Hey, Sean.
Hey, what's up, baby?
What's going on,
man? How you doing? First of all, can I get a Go Birds?
Go Birds.
There it is.
Go Birds. Okay. Yo, you know who you are, James. You know you're my brother from another mother. Oh, you know that.
My man, Sean. My man.
Yep. And Mr. Parks, I value your opinions.
Thank you. Thank you.
I do, too, for what it's worth.
I do, too.
You've
got to be positive.
Now, listen, I'm going to talk to you about the draft and all, but I first want to say, when it comes to Brandon Graham, Lane Johnson, and Jason Kelce, as long as they want to play for the Eagles, I'm for it because they give 100%.
And they're great players when they're healthy, too.
You're right. You know, and look at Kelce. He plays when he ain't healthy.
Yeah. So, yeah, and Lane does, too. I mean, Lane pushed, man. Like,
yeah,
that was,
right.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sorry, but I disagree with you a little bit on this draft.
All right. Where are you at?
We found a diamond in the rough last year in Singleton. You keep him at Mike, and you put Parsons at Sam. I'm not saying he's LT, but if you watch film on this guy, 80% of his tackles are at the line of scrimmage or behind it.
Yeah, look, you know, if they get a game-changing linebacker, that's obviously a big deal. I just think the number six overall, I need an impact player on offense. That's
right.
I hear you.
I hear you on that.
Or an edge rusher. There just doesn't seem to be any of those guys.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Sean, I'm with you. And great call, man. We're up against it. But, yeah, I think, like, normally edge rusher would be one of the things we'd be talking about. It just seems like this crop of guys, this draft this year, doesn't have that single or high-end elite guy at that spot.
Yeah, look, I know this is an oversimplified way to say it, but let's just be honest here. If they get a really good player, that's what you need. Like, a number six overall, just somebody that is starting and helping every week, then...
Well,
okay.
That's the perfect way to put it. Honestly, we talk about the wide receiver versus this, first quarterback, whatever. The thing that matters most on the most basic level is whatever guy they take at six has to be good.
Yes.
Like, that's it. Like, on a basic level, pick someone who's good.
Has to be a Pro Bowl player.
A real impact player.
This is their chance. They've only drafted this high, I think, twice in the last, 100%,
agree.
Has to do it.
All right. This was fun, man.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, we will not be back next week, sadly.
Very sad about that.
Yeah, a couple weeks off because of some Philly spring training.
Not sad about that.
Yeah, it'll be great to have Philly's baseball on the radio. Let's go.
Yeah.
But we will be back soon. And check us out. If you're missing us, if you're like, where are those guys? I need them. Check out our podcast.
Go Birds Pod.
Go Birds Pod, iTunes, Spotify, Twitter. Check us out, all that type of stuff. So thank you to Moshe Kravitz. Thank you to Kevin Keenan before that. Stay tuned. The great Rob Ellis is coming up next. I'm sure we'll be talking a lot of Eagles as well. So until a couple weeks from now, for Elliot, I'm James. Thanks for listening to another edition of Go Birds Radio right here on Sports Radio WIP. And let me remind you one more time that so many of the Go Birds faithful have already joined us, have set up their accounts, and are having a blast. Legally betting on sports makes the games more fun. Like you, we all love the home team. That's why we go with our home team and have the home field advantage when it comes to sports betting. Our team at Parks Casino Sportsbook is right here in Bucks County. That means your action, your money, safe and secure on their easy-to-use sports betting app. The only sportsbook app backed by the number one casino in the whole state of Pennsylvania. The Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Bet with the best. You can bet on anything and everything right now. Pro hoops, college hoops, hockey, baseball futures, over-unders. There's a ton of great over-unders on the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You can even bet on football futures for next season. You can bet on in-game. You can bet live in-game betting when you're watching a game. You can bet on player performances, anything and everything. It's unbelievable. It's fun. It's easy to use. It's intuitive. And it makes the game so much fun to watch when you got a little action on it. And here's the deal. If you sign up now, you get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Yes, $500. Just download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS to get your risk-free bet of up to $500. Again, That's PARXCasino.com/PA. The website has all the details. Your risk-free bet is refunded on your loss as a free bet.